You struggling to find the perfect vacation home? Getting lost online, watching too many videos of dogs surfing? You need Vrbo. That's VRBO. They do the hard work for you, matching you to the perfect place to stay every time, from condos to cabins, places with yards, grills, or hot tubs. They've got it all. My mom, Sally, she heard me. She goes, it's not Vrbo, it's VRBO. I go, Mom, it's Vrbo. She uses it all the time. She didn't even know how it was pronounced. Search VRBO in the App Store to download the Vrbo app today. Put a stop to frustrating vacation searches. Let Vrbo find a home that matches you. Hello, everybody. Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul F. Tompkins. What do these people have in common? Well, I would say they're masters of the form when it comes to comedy podcasting. I think these are people who have set the bar over the years. You can't really argue that. Guess what? They're back with a brand new season of their hit show, Threedom. It's inspired by their fun conversations on tour. These three friends sit down to discuss each other, the world, and everything in between. Don't miss out on the hilarity. Listen to the new season of Threedom only on Stitcher Premium. For a free month of Stitcher Premium, go to stitcherpremium.com/threedom. Use the promo code STORIES. That's THREEDOM. Scott, Lauren, and Paul are all really nice, really funny. Support them. Hello to everybody who likes to get out there and throw a good liver shot. It's beautiful, anonymous. 1 hour, one phone call, no names, no holds barred.
I'd rather go one-on-one. I think it'll be more fun, and I'll get to know you, and you'll get to know me.
Hi, everybody. It's Chris. Chris Gethard. Hi, you're listening to Beautiful Anonymous. Thanks so much for checking in. All the people who listen to the show, I always do it, but I thank you so much. A whole bunch of people have been coming out to my shows in Brooklyn, and the Beautiful Anonymous fans, always the nicest ones. The fans of the other stuff aren't as nice, and they're nice. You guys are really nice. This week, I'm hoping this is coming out, April 16th. I'm asking everyone, if you're downloading this and listening to it on April 16th, or even this week when you get to this episode, now's the time. Whatever podcast app you use, especially if it's Apple Podcasts, let's game the system this week. If you haven't left a review for Beautiful Anonymous, you haven't left those 5 stars, I'm not going to force you to do 5, whatever your gut tells you, you haven't gone and typed out an actual review about why you like the show, let's make this week the week. I'm just doing a review drive. I've never done this on the show before, and I'm doing this for two reasons. One, obviously, help sell ads. I'm not going to lie about that. It'll look cool to go up the charts. I think it'll make us look good, and it'll just help. It's a cool sign of strength. But number two, it's going to be fun for all of you guys to realize that this is a strong community. I'm the only one who really gets to see the whole community. I travel around. I go to Huntsville. I go to Nashville. I go to Salt Lake City. I go to every corner of the globe. I go to London. And all you nice people come up to me and say, you listen to the show. And it's so weird for me because I'm the only one who gets a full sense of the community. So everybody show up, leave your review, and we're just going to laugh and laugh and laugh. Last time I checked, Beautiful Anonymous was the number 130th ranked comedy podcast. I bet if we all leave a review the same day, same week, it'll just charge up the charts. Also want to let everybody know we got a new t-shirt over at podswag.com/beautiful. It's inspired by episode 153, Car Crash, an episode that I think was very meaningful to a lot of people. In the course of that, the phrase was said, please still try. And I responded and said, I kind of feel like that could be the motto for this entire show, this entire project that is Beautiful Anonymous. A lot of people seem to agree. A lot of people rallied around that phrase of please still try. So we got the new please still try t-shirt at podswag.com/beautiful. This week's episode, some of you guys are going to love it. Some of you guys are going to hate it. It's old school. We have someone who got through, has never heard the show before. I know that's infuriating to a lot of you guys who try to call all the time. He has never heard the show. He gets on the show. It's kind of appropriate to ask for the review jive when we have a first-time listener who's actually calling the show, listening to his own episode. That's his first experience with Beautiful Anonymous as it unfolds. It's a fun episode. We talk about boxing a lot up top. We don't talk about boxing the whole time. Don't worry. It meanders. It goes in a whole bunch of directions. I think there's a whole lot of people who say, I miss the early days of the show when it was totally unplanned. This is that. It's a fun one. I thank the caller for calling, and maybe you'll subscribe. Maybe you'll subscribe and leave a review. And everybody else out there, let's have a fun week. If you're so inclined, game the system. This is the week where we game the system, leave reviews, enjoy the call.
Thank you for calling Beautiful Anonymous. A beeping noise will indicate when you are on the show with the host.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I had a weird morning, but I'm all right.
Why was it weird?
I threw up. Threw up this morning.
It happens to the best of us. Was it a late night or just a bad morning?
No, I don't have late nights anymore. That's not been a factor for a few years now. I'm getting old. I take jujitsu classes, and I went a little too hard, and I dehydrated myself. I also think I ate some vitamins on a relatively empty stomach, and that always gets my tummy bad. So I threw up after my class.
I can relate to the jujitsu part. I used to box a lot, take a lot of boxing classes.
Yeah.
And you can kind of hit that wall pretty hard.
Yeah, it was like we were all sparring, and then it was like, hey, Chris, do you have another round in you? This guy wants to go, and I knew in my heart that I was already overheating, but I didn't want to.
Yep.
I wanted to be a good teammate and help this person train. So I said, let's do it. It was a big mistake, and I almost collapsed in the shower. And people in the locker room were asking me if I was okay, and then I threw up.
Yeah, it's hard to, and it's also, you know, it depends on sort of the group of people, but it's hard to be kind of vulnerable in a group where you're supposed to be, you know, it's a martial art, right? And so it's hard to say when somebody says you got one more in you to go, no, I really don't, unless you're with the right people who understand it, so you can push yourself a little too hard.
Yeah, and then there's I think you're right, there's some ego in there. Then there's also the side of it, too, of like, well, if I quit, now this person has to be done for the day. And they took the train. They
yeah,
got up early.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you kind of use them as your own motivation.
Yeah, and it's the guy across from you, you know, they're paying for it, too, and you almost feel like you're letting them down.
Yeah, be a good teammate. Even in a sport where you're punching each other in the face, you still got to be a good teammate. How far did you take the boxing?
Yeah, exactly.
Was it just, you know...
Not too far.
Yeah, because that can be anything from like sweat it out to like, oh, you're in some old school like Gleason's gym, or it can be like, oh, I'm fighting in Golden Gloves.
No, it was you know, occasional sparring and that's it.
Yeah.
The tough bit, you know, there's with the way that, you know, we're learning more and more about CTE, right? It's fun to get the taste of it, right? But I'm frankly too afraid to go much farther than that. There's no other way to like actually understand what defense is like, right? Than other than having somebody throw a fist at your head.
So
I wanted to, see that, and I got my taste of it, and I think that was about it.
I did a little boxing. I've done a little boxing my day. The problem is it makes every joint in your body hurt, and you can't lift your arms even a third as high as they're supposed to.
Yeah, it's much more, I think, for people, you know, who maybe listen to this later who've never tried it. I mean, I it's, you know, the best kind of full body workout I've ever experienced, but also I think the part that's surprising to people who try it for the first time is like how much more endurance it is than it is, you know, hitting hard, right? That it's more about just being able to like keep your hands up. That's actually the really hard part, not throwing the punches. But yeah.
Yeah. But there is a part of me, and I don't know, maybe this is an outdated thought. Maybe attitudes in society have moved on, but I think there's a lot of people, myself included, who are well served by an occasional punch to the face. I think it really puts you in a good mental state, keeps some things in perspective, makes the rest of your day seem not as bad, keeps you humble.
You know, the it's a little bit of the call of the void, that, you know, it's self-destructive, but maybe in a good way. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think the same thing that drives, you know, you kind of have to be a little bit of a masochist to enjoy it, but
yeah.
I don't know, a little bit of poison every day won't kill you, right?
Are you
get used to the poison?
You do, right? And then it's like the Princess yep. Bride. Then it's like the Princess Bride. You took one grain a day.
My girlfriend would love that you made that reference.
Well, hey, that's the secret. That's the secret of my success, is that on one hand I can be talking about the value of getting punched in the face, and then the next breath, let's reference a sweet, romantic, comedic movie of many generations ago. Are you a boxing fan? Do you watch boxing?
I do, and I feel conflicted about it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because it's really fun to watch, right? And particularly, you know, if you... have any idea what's going on, it's fascinating, and it also gives you that appreciation, you know, for any pro sport mm-hmm. where, you know, against an amateur, right, it's just like, oh my god, these people are unreal. But the what I'm conflicted about it is in the same way that I harken back to the CTE thing, right? People are kind of destroying themselves for your benefit, and you know, they're walking in knowing full well, right, what the dangers are. Now they are, you know, back in the day, I'm not sure anybody did, but now they do. So it's like, well, look, if you want to make that deal about, you know, taking the money and in return, you know, beating yourself up, or, you know, getting yourself beat up. But the other part that sort of concerns me is, it's not, right, that choice makes sense, but what other choices exist for a lot of these guys for whom this was their only way out, you know, or
it's
like the only thing they've ever known.
And then they get exploited, and they put their bodies online, and you got your Don Kings of the world who are maybe taking a little extra off the top. So it's a shady world. I found in the, I did boxing training only a handful of times, and I'll tell you, with the headgear on, here's what I learned. Is that when you get punched in the face with a boxing glove on, it hurts. But you tell me if I'm wrong. The pain is not really the issue. It's the immense amount of confusion that's really bad.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's the shock of it.
You're like, what was that? Where did it come from? What direction am I facing now? What happened there? Oh, wait, it hurts.
You can see it. Right, and you can see it. And when the pros, right, it very rare, like the one punch knockout is kind of the, you know, the famous, you know, like what you think of in a Rocky movie, but more it's just the accumulation of a combination, right?
Yeah.
You know, one will surprise somebody and then the hands come down and then it's just 2, 3, 4, 5. And, you know, all of a sudden they're against the ropes and the ref's holding them up, right?
Yeah. It's not Tyson. Tyson was really the only one in my lifetime I can remember where he had the one punch knockout thing reliably.
Well, and he also, I was watching a video of him that showed up on YouTube the other day of him as like a 16-year-old.
I saw it.
Fighting. And did you see that? And he was throwing just absolute bombs as a 16-year-old.
Like, yes.
Like where, you know, like collapse my ribcage even if I had known it was coming, right? Just absolute bombs. And he's one of those true, like, you know, crazy power that could bring anybody else down. But the majority of these guys, if they, you know, if it ends in a knockout, it's from what you felt, which is the, you know, the surprise disorients you, and then you just can't defend yourself anymore.
The shock and the awe. Now I'm going to tell you three facts about me, and then you have to guess who my favorite boxer of all time is.
Okay. All right. We'll give it a run.
One, I'm from New Jersey.
Okay.
Two, I don't know if I'm primarily concerned with being the best comedian as long as I put on a show that really makes people in the room that night feel like they saw something special.
Okay.
Three, I really think one of my greatest assets is that even though I'm not the most talented, I know how to keep going even when I catch bad breaks. I.e., I know how to get back up again after I've been knocked down.
Right, you've got heart, as they would say.
Yeah, I got heart, like John Starks, as the Beastie Boys once said.
Yeah, hard and a good chin, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. My knowledge of you know, I know all the greats, but my knowledge of sort of boxing history is pretty limited. I've been trying to read up, you know, as I've been getting into it, but I'm not sure. It's the jersey thing that's throwing me off.
I'm trying to
go through my list. Here,
Jersey City. Fought out of Jersey City, New Jersey, baby. We're talking about Arturo Thunder Gatti. You ever see those fights?
Oh,
Gatti versus Ward?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gatti versus Ward, right? The Irish hero, right?
Yeah.
Where the two of them, what was that round?
The round of the century. The round of the century.
Where they are just 2 minutes of absolute brutalization for both of them.
Their first fight,
for anybody,
round nine. Watch it. Just Google round of the century. It's round nine of the first fight between Mickey Ward and Arturo Gatti, and it's truly insane.
Crazy.
It's
crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's one guy throwing himself out, right, out of gas, and then putting his hands down, and then the other guy comes back with all he has, and then puts his hands down, and then it comes back again, right? And it's that for 2 minutes, and it's brutal. And you can see it on their faces, too, that they know exactly what's happening right now. It's just horrible.
Yes, but both of them just choosing not to fall down and wondering why they won't. Even they wondering why they won't. Leading, I believe, Jim Lampley to say, or was it Emmanuel Stewart? It might have been, I think it was Jim Lampley. I knew we might see the fight of the year, but I didn't know we were going to see the round of the century. I believe that's the quote.
Yeah.
God damn, that's
you know what
good
I've,
fights.
I've always wondered about with that sort of thing is what the trainer is looking for, right?
Yeah.
Because if I had been sitting in that corner, you know, how do you decide whether to throw the towel or not? Like, you talk about it beforehand. Like, if I see this, we're done. Do you not talk about it because you don't want your fighter to think about that? Like, what are you thinking about in terms of just damage taken in future career when you watch something like that? Because I don't know if I would have had the stomach for it, frankly.
I feel like those two fighters in particular, though, their trainers know if you throw in the towel on me, we're going to have a real serious issue.
You're not the trainer anymore.
Yeah. Now, when was the last time you threw up? When was that? What's the most recent vomit experience you've had? Mine was this morning.
That's a good question. I was going to ask, are you feeling better at least?
So much better. I drank a ton of water and I went right away and ate a little lunch, got some salt and electrolyte back in the system, and I bounced back. My stomach's still a little wonky, but I no longer feel like I'm going to pass out. But thank you for asking. That was quite considerate of you.
I should have led with it, but other than talking about getting punched. The last time that I threw up, it was probably a couple months ago. I recently moved across the country for work, and so I had, you know, one or two kind of goodbye celebrations with friends, and one of them kind of got out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little too much to drink and ended up, you know, throwing up. I think that was probably it.
Mm-hmm.
No spectacular story, but if I had to guess.
I was just looking for the facts. You don't need to blow my mind. Just looking for the facts. No, it's been 15. I do feel we let the boxing talk get a little out of control. Most people don't just talk about boxing and vomiting for the first 15 minutes. I want to make sure if there's anything you want to talk about, the floor is yours. I'm happy to chit-chat about boxing forever, but...
No. The only thing that's on my mind... And this is you might find this funny or you might find it horrifying. I'm not sure, but I've actually never listened to the podcast. I came twice to the Chris Gethard show, and my girlfriend is a huge, huge fan of the podcast.
Oh, please
and
thank her
so
for me.
Trust me, she's gonna kill me when I tell her.
Yeah.
But she's the one who who introduced me to you. And so, and we went twice to your show. The first was, when Method Man was on, who was, so remarkably personable in the interview you did with him. I was blown away, by it. And I had such a good time, you know, that all the production staff was great and all
that.
He's
an amazingly charismatic Method Man. Insanely charismatic.
Oh, God,
also,
yeah.
In person, you can vouch for me, shockingly handsome.
Very handsome. Very mm-hmm. handsome.
Great dude.
Yeah, he's and the two, you know, to a certain extent, go hand in hand, right? But he was, yeah, I thought he did, and he also seemed like, and maybe you can kind of do a little behind the scenes here, but yeah. It seemed like, you know, he didn't know much about the show either.
No.
But he did a great job with it, right?
Well, I'll tell you one of the most,
give him credit.
I will tell you, here's one of the most flattering things anyone's ever said to me. I met him at an event called the Upfronts, where different TV shows go and you talk to tons of journalists. It's very annoying and very okay. gross. I was there promoting my show and he was there promoting a show that he was producing, and he saw me and he stopped me.
He wasn't there promoting your show?
I wish if he just inexplicably was promoting my projects, and that's how we got to know each other. No, and
he's a great hype man.
He stopped me and he said, "Hey, you're Chris Gethard." And I was like, "Holy shit, you're Method Man. Like, why do you know who I am?" And he goes, "I'll tell you something." He goes, "I saw your Career Suicide special on HBO." And this is true. Method Man says to me, he goes, "There's been three comedians in my life who I can think of that make me think while they're also making me laugh. Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Chris Gethard." Method Man said that to
wow.
me. Some of the greatest flattery.
Wow.
And then we got to talking, and I was like, "You're promoting my show. If you ever want to do it, let me know." He's like, "Dude,
yeah.
after what you did on HBO, anything you need, I'll always help you out." And he came on the show, and he killed it. He's the best. I'm going to tell you something.
Now,
you don't listen to Beautiful. Oh, yeah, go for it. What's the question?
Well, one quick question. When somebody says something like that to you, you know, that unfortunately, you know, I don't have quite the kind of career at the moment that, you know, puts me in the same sort of sentences as Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock. But when somebody says something like that to you, do you shrink or do you grow? You know, is that like like you're trying to sort of fill that bubble, or are you like, "Oh my God, I can't occupy the last part of that sentence"? Like,
well,
because I can kind of see it going both ways, right?
On the one hand, my initial instinct is, well, that's not true. I certainly am not someone of the skills of a Chappelle or a Rock. I'm the first to admit that. But then I'm also like, but who am I? Who am I to invalidate Method Man's experience? Tecal.
Yeah,
I'm not here trying to undercut the Tecalian stallion, if that is his opinion. I just appreciate the thought and the praise, because he's also someone who I grew up in the Northeast in the 90s. Like, the Wu-Tang Clan was a massive part of my pop culture experience. So.
That very much came through in the show too. About, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say you were fanboying, but to a certain extent you were, and that was great, because your earnestness really kind of, I think, made him comfortable.
Quite genuine.
Situation. Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny. It's, people give me praise, and it's nice. I mean, two things I'll say. The one part I would say, part one is, I'm very aware that I am not a mainstream entity, so I'm very happy to understand that my work has helped a small amount of people relative to some others. Like, I know, like, initially I'm like, "Oh, I'm not Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle, like, Dave Chappelle sells out football stadiums if he feels like it." And I get down on myself, but I go, "You know what?
Right.
I have a much smaller fan base, but I get the sense that the stuff I've done means a lot to them. And I'll take that 10 times out of 10. That's my
funny that you the Dave Chappelle being the big side of that, because I immediately think of, I can't remember which Chris Rock album it was, but at one point in one of his albums, he has a super cut of him saying the same punchline of, you know, "I said this in Johannesburg. I said it.
Yes.
I said it in Paris.
Yes.
I said it, you know," and it's like, it's an interesting choice to make in producing the album like that, because you do get slightly different reactions in each one of the cities. But it also is like, you then realize the scope of like who Chris Rock is, like, it, you know, very quickly.
Yeah. And then I'm,
yeah.
And then I've got like a 200 seat room, maybe 2/3 full, in Huntsville, Alabama. Like, you know, so I know who I am. But I'm happy that I'm happy to do stuff that people find thoughtful and smart. And yeah, I think that's. Hey, you know what? I'm bringing up ticket sales. That makes me realize there's a lot of things for sale in this world. And some of them are for sale on this podcast. We have advertisers, they have products, they have services. Check them out. Use the promo codes. When you do, it helps the show survive. We'll be right back after this. We all need someone to talk to. A person who can support us through rough patches or even the everyday ups and downs of life. That's where Talkspace comes in. Talkspace is therapy for how we live today. It's mobile, it's affordable, and it's available when you need it. Simply provide your preferences for therapy and Talkspace will match with one of 4,000 plus therapists the very same day. No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. That is one of the most true things I can say in this world. You're not alone. There's more than 1 million people who are feeling happier because they use Talkspace. I got to say, Talkspace is one of the longtime advertisers on the show. I thank them for being such a big part of Beautiful Anonymous. And I can say so genuinely, I've gone out there on the road. I do these shows. I meet Beautiful Anonymous fans. And I've met many, many people at this point who have said that they have tried Talkspace because of the show and they had good experiences. And it makes me feel good. For 12 years, I've been in traditional therapy. And I was so glad to see Talkspace doing a modern take on it when they first started advertising. And, you know, everyone's got to find the type of therapy that fits for them. And it's been such a warm feeling to realize that this show has introduced a lot of people to a system that has genuinely helped. Talkspace has more than 4,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing the challenges we all face. To match with your perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use the code BEAUTIFUL to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's beautiful at Talkspace.com. Thanks again to all our advertisers. Now let's get back to the phone call. I'm happy to do stuff that people find thoughtful and smart. And yeah, I think that's, you know, and no, the praise goes a long way, but it also doesn't erase the emotional impact of seeing people on the internet consistently be like, this guy's not funny and he's ugly and he has mutant hands. Like those add up.
I see.
Those,
yeah.
Those add up too.
You still feel the slings and arrows of Twitter. You have Twitter and all that, even if you don't want to, even if you have Method Man as your hype man, it's hard to avoid the other side of it.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I am aware makes people who love me in my real life sad, and it makes me sad when I have the perspective to see it, is that I let the bad hurt me more than I let the good affect me in the positive. And I think that is sometimes hard to watch.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, but it's also part and parcel of the, you know, the success that you have is having that perspective, right? You can't, you know, I've watched Career Suicide, and I don't think someone who takes the praise more than the criticism could do that set.
No.
So, you know, it's all, yeah, right? It's inescapable. And so, yeah, you're doomed, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I am doomed.
Make yourself better, though.
I've long...
Jiu-jitsu sounds good.
Well,
but, yeah.
I mean, it sounds like you know my work well enough to know that me doing a hobby that's me physically being beaten and choked is very in character. Now, I want to explain to you. I want to explain to you that you don't listen to Beautiful Anonymous. I'm not sure how aware you are of it. I will say this episode, I'm going to just let you know, and I'm not mad about it. I think some people are going to love this. Some people are going to hate. This is by far directionless compared to how the show usually goes. People usually show up. I'm also going to, I don't know if you are aware. So I'm checking right now and we are coming up on, you got through, you'd never listen to the show. There are people furious with you right now because there are people who listen. There's people who listen religiously and try to call every time. There's almost 11,000 people have tried to call while you and I are talking, and some guy who's never even bothered to listen is on. It's not going to make all of them thrilled. What is your message to them?
No, my message to them is I apologize.
You do,
and I have no business. I have no business being on the podcast. But my second message is you know, I have maintained to my girlfriend that I was going to try to get on before she did to see what would happen.
Ah.
And, you know, if I am forgiven for anything, it can be, you know, I'm keeping a promise.
It sounds like one of those playful couple jokes meant to infuriate her, and now it's come true, and you're going to have to deal with the aftermath.
As I was sitting and listening to the nice punk rock selection that you had, I was sitting there because you open, for those of you who have not been as fortunate as I in this moment.
Now you're getting cocky. Now you're rubbing it in.
A little bit.
You're rubbing it in.
Like, lean into it when you have the chance, right?
The heel. You're taking a heel turn.
But you do say, you know, in the sort of, I don't know what you would call it, the hold music. Like, look, you know, think hard about whether you want your voice on the podcast. And I don't so much mind that. But what I was trying to think through is, oh, God, this joke is becoming very real now, you know, and like, what's the implication of that?
So your girlfriend,
which I'm sure you've experienced. But
oh, yeah. I mean, if there's anybody who's taken a joke to a point of his own discomfort, it's a guy who once ate a pot cookie on a helicopter and then went on live TV thinking it would be funny in theory and then being thrown into the abyss as that happened for you. Now, you say your girlfriend listens often to the show. Would you say every episode?
Yes.
So she's going to hear this?
Yes.
And you clearly, I will say again, it's been lovely. We've largely talked about boxing and then me and Method Man. That's not usually, just to give you perspective, people usually call up and they tell me, stories of sort of their deepest life philosophies or fears or maybe their most profound experiences as a human. Someone once told me that they were about to leave for federal prison. We had someone who survived.
You had Paul Manafort on Beautiful Anonymous.
No, he's not the only human in prison, dude. But this is just an example of people who are trying to start small businesses, people who are going through massive life changes, someone whose house just burned down. And we got me and you talking about what it's like to get punched in the face and Method Man. And now
But that's also, that can be life-changing, getting punched in the face. And the way that you talked about jiu-jitsu, it seems like, you know, it's made a positive change in your life. So I don't think we're that far afield.
Now, I'm loving this because you're owning it. The part when I'm saying that the listeners are not used to this, you're owning it and being like, yeah, no, but this is great too. I love that. And people who aren't as fortunate to get in as I, I love it.
You know, Chris, you're not, you know, it's your podcast, right?
It's true. That is true.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I would like to say that, you know, I had some sort of enormous wisdom to impart, you know, for my own life or some major upcoming crisis or something, you know, sort of deeper or more existential to talk about. But at, you know, at this moment, I don't know that I do. I'm taking the GRE about a week. I'm thinking of going to grad school.
Okay.
So, you know, I've kind of got that on the brain. I recently moved across the country for a job.
Okay.
And that was sort of a big thing.
That's cool.
And, you know, to date, I'd say the most, the most interesting circumstance in which I found myself is, you know, at one point in 2016, I worked on HRC's campaign.
Ooh.
And so in a sort of limited role for a couple months, I'm not sure how deep to go into here, but let's say doing analytics work.
Okay. Okay.
And you know, that I think, you know, if you were to reach for kind of an interesting story or series of stories, I guess that's it.
Well, those are
It's not right. Not everybody who we go through moments, right? And it just so happens that I got lucky on a day where I'm feeling like things are pretty normal. So why not talk about boxing or jiu-jitsu or whatever?
I love it. Now, okay, with that in mind, can I ask you, So you've had this long-running competition with your own girlfriend. And how long have you guys been together?
Let's see. It would be a little over 2 years now.
A little over 2 years. And you have long said, in a chiding way, I will get through to that show you like before you do. And now it's happened. Are there any specific messages you'd like to send to your girlfriend of 2 years, knowing she's listening and probably a little salty that you've made it on the air?
if I may get sentimental for a moment, that I love her very much. That she's been she took a move across the country for this with me for this job. That I took, and I don't know if I would have had the. And she had lived in our previous sort of city for, I don't know, 7-8 years, and you know, a year and a half in, I got this opportunity, and I said, I'm thinking about taking it, but it's going to require a move. And she said, I'm in. And wow. So she's been working remotely, and you know, I'd like to she may not believe it herself, but I think that shows a lot of courage and a lot of sort of inner strength that she may not see in herself, but I see it in her. I hope she knows that. And if she doesn't, well, now she and everybody else who listens knows it.
Well done. Smart play. Smart play, dude. That could have gone in many directions. To let that unfold into a beautiful monologue where you say, even though she doesn't see her own inner strength, it's there, and I see it. Well played. You just melted everybody's hearts. Everybody just went from being a little bitter, you got through, to a little bit in love with you. Well done.
It's the heel to the baby face. There's always a turn for two or three, right?
So. Yes. Yes, it's true. Yeah. It's true. You know your wrestling psychology.
Hopefully there's at least one or more. Yeah, one or two more left before the end of the phone call.
Yeah, we're talking wrestling. I tell you, I went to NXT TakeOver and WrestleMania this weekend. I saw two different wrestling
shows.
I've
never seen any live wrestling, though my parents' first date was wrestling.
Really?
My dad still talks about it, my mother doesn't, which I'm not sure why that is, but you can read into it what you will.
Does your dad remember who the main event was?
No, he was actually there because he was part of a sort of like a big brother, big sister thing. And the kid that he was sort of mentoring was just really into wrestling. And this is a guy who I grew up a couple blocks from a ballpark. And my dad could not care less about, any kind of sport basically. But my mother, when we were growing up, my sister and I, she used to come home from work, and she'd, you know, take us out in a stroller, and she'd buy two tickets off a scalper, and she'd put me next to her and my sister in her lap and watch a game, and we would leave. And so by all my experiences of just sports and of sporting is with her, not really with my dad. And so I have a hard time sort of imagining this situation because it's not the sort of thing my dad would sign up for, but I think he made, you know, obviously made the most of it because it worked out. But
wow, heartwarming,
yeah,
heartwarming tale. Ultimately, about parental roles and your mom.
Well, it's the, you know, if anybody is out there is thinking, boy, you know, I've got two wrestling tickets. Should I ask this guy or girl to it? I guess all I have to say is give it a try. It's worked before, you know.
I don't even know what to make of this one. I don't know what some people are gonna. This is gonna be divisive. Some people are gonna love the chit chat. Some people are. All right. What else? What else would you talk about? If you were me, what would you? What do you? What would? If you were helping me out,
would you ask me? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would talk about the campaign, I think would, you know, because I don't know if you've had anybody who worked on that. And even if we want to get really divisive, we can do that. You know, the other thing I was sort of prepared to talk about was the other guy, or the other time I went to see your show, it was to see actually the musical guest. One of my favorites, Ted Leo, was on the show. Another good New Jerseyan.
Yes,
and that, you know, that was the other thing I was thinking about talking about, was how, you know, it's funny how much in high school listening to him has informed how much of the bands that I like now, because of things that I heard him sort of cite and, you know, and sing about and talk about at shows, about, oh, I better go listen to Bad Brains. Like, oh, I better go listen to Thin Lizzy. Like, oh, I better go listen to the Misfits to really get what all of this is. And, you know, and found some other stuff that I really liked. So it was very fun, you know, and I can't thank you enough, because I got to sit there and chat with him after the show, which I don't know if I would have had that opportunity to sort of meet one of your heroes, and he couldn't have been nicer. But yeah, I don't know. We can talk about that. It was funny to see the other day, Beto O'Rourke said that I think he was going to have a Fugazi administration, which I'm still trying to figure out what that means.
Yeah.
But
yes.
I'm just stumped. I'm totally stumped by that statement.
Well,
I don't know if you get it.
I mean, if you're a Ted Leo, yeah. Okay. First of all, let me just say, I want to echo that Ted Leo is a brilliant musician and also a kind man, a good person.
Yeah.
And a kind man and a true gentleman of New Jersey. And I'm lucky to have been in his sphere a couple times, because he's a true artist. It's inspiring. Love that you find other music. But yeah, I mean, Beto O'Rourke saying he's really into Fugazi. I mean, what was Fugazi? Fugazi was emo. For anybody who doesn't know, not everybody listening to this show likes punk rock. There was a band called Minor Threat. Very punk rock, very hardcore, very screaming and yelling, what you would think. Also had the song Straight Edge, which spawned the Straight Edge movement, which you may have heard of, even outside of punk rock. Went on to be in a band that I think a lot of people would consider more thoughtful and more musical, called Fugazi. And they were known for their very strong sense of ethics. All their shows were all ages. They never charged more than what? Was it $5 or $10 per show?
They didn't, it was something like that. It was nothing, basically.
Yeah. They made sure everything was very accessible. They had a lot of rules regarding their merchandising as well. And Ian MacKaye is, I think they maybe had no merchandising, right? The famous shirt is, "This is not a Fugazi t-shirt." That's like a well-known shirt in punk rock.
Right.
But Ian MacKaye, very inspiring guy who never has kind of, you know, he founded Discord Records. He's put out a lot of great stuff, and he's very famously one of the people who has actually, decades in, still not betrayed the ethics he laid out in his earliest days. I think that's what Beto means.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there are not that many sort of, like, elder statesmen of that era of punk rock, like maybe Henry Rollins, maybe him. And so it's just interesting to, I don't know, to hear that brought up rather than, you know, anything else. I'm trying to think, the other thing that he said was, you know, what do you listen to on the campaign? And he said, oh, I listened to the Misfits and Bad Brains and the Clash. And, you know, and I was kind of sitting there, it's like, how do like sort of center left Texas politics and Bad Brains match up, you know? And I even think about myself of like, how do I square this circle? Because it doesn't quite fit together, but I kind of get it. It's hard to wear sort of button down shirts and slacks and be a huge Bad Brains fan, but maybe that's sort of having that positive, you know, positive mental attitude, right? Of like, who cares, you know, be who you are.
But. And then he's into it. Turns out he was like a member of like like one of the early hacking groups. In a way, when I read that, I was like, this guy built for me. He was listening to Ian MacKaye and going on BBS systems in the 80s and early 90s. Like, this is the closest culturally to me anyone has ever, any presidential candidate has ever been. Some guy who likes punk rock and doing Facebook Lives, and also has done a lot of like weird backdoor internet community building in secretive ways on early BBS systems. Yeah, this is my dude. I like the guy.
It's bizarre. I don't think he's my candidate at the moment, but I do have that same sort of like general warm feeling where I'm like, oh, I think I get this guy. Like, I think I understand him in a way that, I don't necessarily feel about a lot of other people.
Yeah.
But,
I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't be mad about him. Who knows? Hillary's campaign.
Yeah.
You were there.
Yeah.
You've indicated that there's some stories there. What are you willing to share? Ooh, now that's what I call a cliffhanger. We're going to get the inside dirt when we get back. But first, check out our advertisers. Use the promo codes if you're interested. It's how the show will survive. We'll be right back after this. Have you heard about Joybird, the company behind the revolution in online furniture shopping? Joybird offers one-of-a-kind furniture made to your unique taste. Turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles and options, from mid-century modern to contemporary classics, all customizable in an amazing array of fabric choices, from rich buttery leather and plush velvets to every color imaginable. There's even a wide range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery available, as well as free personal design consultants to help nail down your perfect design. And with Joybird's 365-day home trial, skip the furniture store. Bring the showroom home. Sit on it. Sleep on it. Break it in. And if you don't love your Joybird, return it for a full refund. That's a good sign of good customer service right there. Confidence in the products from Joybird, and I understand it. It's a really good company, and they make good stuff. In-home delivery is hassle-free. They'll even remove all the packing materials for you. Returns are free within 2 weeks of delivery. See how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/beautiful. Go to joybird.com/beautiful. Receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code BEAUTIFUL. Thanks again to everybody who sponsors our show. Now let's finish off this phone call. You've indicated that there's some stories there. What are you willing to share?
Well, you know, My role is very limited. I did a bunch of sort of data analytics. And, you know, the first thing I'll say is that I was there for the last couple months when they were sort of really tooling up for the general election. And the real sort of heroes of the story are the organizers who were there from, you know, Iowa caucuses, like, you know, basically 2 years before Election Day all the way through. I mean, I know one person who basically worked 500 days straight without a day off. From the primaries all the way through. And, you know, anything I say does not represent, you know, the way that they must feel. And I don't know if I could understand after doing all of that, how you could feel, after, you know, working that hard for that long. For the people who probably listen to this, who we're all now, it seems like, it's just politics, 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 but have never actually, you know, maybe they've never knocked doors, or maybe they've knocked doors, but they've never sort of organized, or maybe they've organized, but they've never been part of a, you know, on a local level, or never been part of a statewide or a general or a, you know, a national campaign. What I'll say is that, you know, the people that I worked with were awesome and fascinating. I was in a particular state, so I didn't know many of the people at HQ, but I was sort of deployed out to one of the states, and everybody I worked with, I had, you know, tremendous respect for. What I didn't expect about it, when I got there, I'd come out of sort of working in consulting, which is a lot of hours, and then ended up on the campaign and upped my, how much I worked from, like, you know, 10 hours a day, 5 days a week, to you're working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, like 9 to 9, 9 to 10. But it didn't feel like that. It felt like the time went, like, I think it was 5 months I was there, something like that. It went like in the blink of an eye. The hardest part sort of afterwards, was the feeling of like total exhaustion. Because in the last couple of weeks, you just, you know, it's every hour that you can work as fast as you can work. And, you know, and you're handling everything from like a modern campaign is basically works by the objective is to do the things that get your voters to go out and vote on election day, right? It's less persuasion, or at least in 16, it was less persuasion. It was more get out the vote. And so your objective is to hire organizers on the ground who may be, say, a campus organizer, right? That you're in charge of, I don't know, that you're in charge of FSU or something, right? You're in charge of Rutgers, or are regionally based. You know, you're the Toledo.
I wish I was in charge of Rutgers. A lot of things would have been different if I was in charge of Rutgers when I was there. A lot of things would have been changed.
I don't know if we had...
in a happier place.
I don't know if we had a Rutgers rep, but I might have to ship them all out to over to Pennsylvania to knock doors.
Next time you put me in charge of Rutgers, I'll really shape that place up after all these years. Anyway, okay, I made a joke. You were saying.
Yeah. So I think the craziest sort of sleep-deprived thing I remember doing was in the last... So you have basically 4 days before election day, because election day is always on a Tuesday, right? And so you have, you plan to sort of, if you don't have early voting, or if you do have early voting, to do the majority of your get out the vote effort on those last 4 days. And so as part of that, you want to know exactly which doors on which houses are you going to knock and who are you going to ask for when somebody comes to the door, right? And so in the state that I was in, I think we had something like, for the last 4 days, we had like 28,000 packets of literally PDFs of doors that people had to knock. And I remember, and we had to get them out to all these, you know, organizers in the state. I remember somebody asking, because we had the option to put like a cover page on these packets that described what the contents were. And somebody asked us at like 2 a.m, here are the number of vans that we have rented to put these packets in and drive them around the state. If we add one more page on each one of them, do we need to rent more vans? Do we have enough space? And so you have, you know, like, 10 people, some of them who are like, you know, Harvard Law and Kennedy School people, and, you know, taking time to do this, and like, you know, Google engineers and all that, who are all sitting there at like 3:30 in the morning going, okay, all right, what, with a ruler, trying to figure out, okay, what are the dimensions of a single sheet of paper? What are the dimensions of 100? What's the dimension of a van? Do I have to go get the van? You know, and like, we're all running around with our, like, chickens with our heads cut off. But
wow. Yeah. It comes down to the individual width of a sheet of paper. Maybe that may be the difference between 100 doors getting knocked down or not.
Yeah, in my state, it did not come down to that. But in other states, it can. I mean, New Hampshire, right, is always within, is now like a 1,000 or 2,000 vote state. And so it's, and you don't, the hardest part is you don't know that in advance, right? So as you get closer and closer to election day, you know, it's the, I can spend the 15 minutes more because is this going to be the margin, right? If I make this algorithm slightly better, is that going to be the margin? If I get this report out a little bit quicker for the organizers, is that going to be the margin, right? And I think everybody sort of drives themselves on that basis of what is it, could this be the thing that pushes you over the edge?
Yeah. Right? It's fun. My version of this on the other side, which I think this is exactly what you're talking about. So I live in Jackson Heights, Queens. I live in the district that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez represents.
Yep.
And I will tell you something, and maybe I hope I'm not rocking the boat, because I really have admired so much of what AOC has done. I voted for her, and I'm proud I did. But
I'm with you.
Here's something that makes me laugh really hard, that it sounds like it will make sense to you as someone who's been an organizer.
I have not been an organizer. People do much harder job than I've ever done.
Right.
I don't want to take
I'm just
that
saying, being on the inside and seeing
I've
the
paper. I've only done data work.
But you've seen the paper measure. You've had the night where we got to measure the paper and measure the vans.
Yep.
Like, you've been on that side of the infrastructural side, trying to get it over the finish line. I hope I'm not making waves or throwing shade in any way, because I love my rep and I think she's standing up to the right people. That being said, people act like Jackson Heights, Queens, and a few other neighborhoods in Queens, and one neighborhood in the Bronx have thrown down the gauntlet as far as being the ring bearers of this progressive wave that we swept in based on Cortez's new socialist values. And it's certainly a very liberal and progressive place, but I can tell you so honestly that from my perspective, the reason she won is because she hung up posters and Crowley didn't.
Yeah, you know.
Straight up, every business you walked past in Jackson Heights had like a well-designed AOC poster. It was blue. The color, the text was in yellow. It popped out. You're like, oh, who's this? She seems cool. Literally never saw a Joe Crowley poster. As the election approached, for about 3 weeks out, pretty much every corner of my neighborhood, there'd be a person there with, you know, pamphlets, postcards for AOC. Hey, I'm representing her. If you have any questions, they seemed like excited. They seemed like they had an energy to them. I don't want to say youthful energy because they weren't all young, but that youthful excitement that can span age. I saw one day where he had three people out by the train station passing out flyers, and they had all the enthusiasm of someone handing me like a carpet cleaning postcard or a mover's van, rent my moving van. He clearly had hired them. The guy didn't put in the actual on-the-ground footwork. That's why I live there. I'm telling you. That's why Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got elected. Now, I really hope that she uses the opportunity to keep pushing the right buttons and standing up to the right people and saying a lot of things that I think are good to say to the establishment. And I hope so. But I laugh so hard when people are like, she represents this new socialist movement, because it's like she does, but that's not why she got elected. She got elected because she did the work. I will tell you, I don't know if I've told this story on the show before. I left my house one day and I was heading to the Jersey Shore with Hallie Bullitt, my wife. We're going down the beach, and I said, usually I change at the beach. I said, you know what? I'll just walk to the car in my outfit. So I have on a straw hat, a pink bathing suit, and a button-down shirt. I look like a jerk, is what I'm saying. I'm carrying a beach chair. I look like a jerk. I get to the end of my corner, and there's like a handful of people standing there. And I'm like, oh, that's that lady who's running for Congress. It's just AOC is at the end of my block. Right, I almost said the name of my block. In Queens, we don't need that. We don't need that. End of my block. And she's just standing there with like three or four organizers. Nobody's mobbing her. And I walked by and they're like, oh, do you live in this district? I'm like, yeah, I live on this block. They're like, well, this is Alexandria. Say hello. She's running. I shook her hand. Said, yeah, you've been really making waves. It's really impressive. And she said, yeah, I hope you consider voting for me. And this other woman said she's going to do a really good job. And I looked at this other woman and I go, I recognize this person. Oh, it's Susan Sarandon. This is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Susan Sarandon at the end of my block. And they're just looking at me. And I look down and realize I'm wearing a pink bathing suit and a straw hat. I've never dressed like this one time in my life. And then to make it even worse, one of the very enthusiastic young campaign organizers who was there with AOC and Susan Sarandon goes, oh, this guy does comedy. And they were both like, what? And she's like, yeah, he's a pretty well-known comedian. I've seen him around town. He's been done TV stuff. And I was utterly humiliated. But she was out there on every corner shaking hands, handing out postcards, hanging up posters. The other guy didn't. That's why she won. You know that. You know how far that goes. Hello? Did we really lose him while I went on a rant? That's kind of amazing. What if he just hung up because he got bored? What if he's just like, oh, this is annoying. I got bored. That would be kind of a hilarious way for this episode of all episodes. The guy who never heard the show before just hung up when he felt like it.
Hey, sorry.
Hey, no sweat, man. What's up?
Hello?
Hey, hi. What happened there? You put it on mute by accident or what?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Hello. I love that this is happening. Don't edit any of this out. Hi.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Hey. This is what I thought this show would be when we first came up with the idea. Hi. And there, that was him hanging up, right? Should I pause the clock? You did pause it. I'm being told. Okay, I love that they can hear that. A behind-the-scenes look at technical difficulties. I've been told that here at our IT department, maybe they're trying to shut down talk of AOC. Maybe we've got one of Joe Crowley's Queen's Democratic Machine cronies shutting down our IT. Look at this. I vote that we leave all this in. We got technical disaster, political intrigue, talk of fighting. Harry's over here talking about getting, he said, I'm going to get so many weed gummies. It's going to make the Haribo people say that's too many gummies. Is that a good reference to the Haribo? How do you say that? Haribo? First one, the way I first said it. He says it's going to make those Haribo people think twice about how many gummies I got. He's over here in a rage. He's pounding the glass with his fist. He's making motions like he's going to cut my throat. This is wild.
Hey, Chris?
Yeah, hey, what's up, man? Sorry about that. I think it was on our end.
Hey. No worries. I was just trying to figure out, like, oh, God, did we just talk for that long for nothing?
No, it's never for nothing. Now, did you hear my whole rant about AOC one because she hung up posters?
Yes. And I went on a whole rant myself.
Oh, you did?
Now I'm thinking hard about exactly what I want to say, but I think we missed that half of it.
Yes, we did not hear your rant. So I was just saying, you know.
Okay.
I think you know that her shaking hands, handing out postcards, hanging up posters, works. Really works.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you
Wait, could you just hear that? Did you just hear Jared rambling about Susan Sarandon? What a goddamn disaster. You've never listened to the show before, dude. I want to assure you, it's not always this big of a fucking mess. Sorry, Sally, which is a reference you don't know. But listen, it's a big goddamn... Everybody over here, we're going to have a team meeting because we got to get our shit together. This guy's brand new. He's never heard the show, and this is our best foot forward? I don't think so. This guy's never going to subscribe now. And we need all the subscribers we can get. What are you trying to sell?
Chris, I'm having a wonderful time. I wouldn't worry about it.
I just want you to know that we're not normally sailing rudderless out in the open seas. No, very often we actually are. Anyway, okay, so you were saying.
I mean.
Yes.
No, nothing important. we could switch back to boxing if that'll make the listeners happy. No, so the only, you know, I'll give you two answers two sort of responses to what you just said. The first is from like the sort of political science and what do we know about what's effective on modern campaigns. Nothing's better than knocking doors for getting votes. There, we don't know of any other sort of treatment that you can sort of put on a target population better than just going out and knocking doors. If anybody's sitting there and they're like, you know, trying to figure out, hey, how can I help the most? Picking up a walk packet from your local organizer and going and knocking a door is just the best thing that you can do. But not everybody's capable of knocking at doors. You know, not everybody sort of has the constitution for it. It is nerve-wracking.
It's my nightmare.
And it's tough to do for the first. Yeah, it's tough to do for the first, you know, first couple. And then eventually you just sort of desensitize yourself. But the next best thing is making phone calls, you know, and like A, try and recruit volunteers to come in and knock doors because, you know, see one. But two is also, you know, reminding people about where can they vote and all that. And the on the ground organizer should have good call sheets for people. And then sort of everything after that comes in kind of a distant, you know, third, fourth and fifth of like sending out mailers or stuffing mailboxes or talk, you know, and all that sort of thing. But talking to people, right? Talking to people where they live is just like the best thing ever. And if that's at a train station or if that's, you know, at their door or wherever it is, every bit helps. The second thing is that, you know, just the enthusiasm, like, you know, you mentioned, I think that you didn't feel like the guys that you were, you know, the Crowley folks were, you know, maybe they weren't as genuine as if they were, you know, true supporters. Maybe they weren't as sort of enthused. And, you know, there is a stark difference in the effect of having like a true volunteer versus a paid canvasser. True volunteers get out more votes than paid canvassers do. And so, you know, if you're feeling fired up about somebody and, you know, you want to go help in whatever time you can, there's nothing. It's literally the greatest thing that a campaign can get is a fired up volunteer who brings two or three friends to go and knock a couple doors or do whatever needs to be done. So.
All right.
And I think you saw that in her ground game.
Yeah. And also not smart. In a neighborhood that is sort of legendarily diverse. Anybody who's ever heard of it, one of the first things you hear. I gotta also say, for an older white guy to never make an appearance in the neighborhood, and then for AOC to come along and really pound the pavement hard, and he just looks like someone who may be out of touch with where progressive people in liberal cities want to go. And he just underlines it and circles it and validates it and highlights it by not showing up. He's out of touch. He made it, and he didn't do anything to get back in touch with the very people he took for granted. Okay, so yeah, we got four minutes left. We got about 4 minutes left because of the technical snafus, and I vote that we keep all of my ramblings in, but who knows? Maybe maybe it's not as funny as I thought.
I hope you feel the same about mine.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, when you were off the line because we disconnected you, I just started rambling about nonsense. You've been great. I think people are going to point to this one and go, this is like an old school all over the map. This was what the show was like before it was really established, was just people shooting the shit about whatever.
Well, you know, I'm all about, you know, bringing it back to the roots, really, of what this used to be before you got all commercial, Chris.
I want to reiterate, a show you have not heard one time, true or false?
No.
Yes.
No, but if anybody knows, it's you, right? So I'll take your word for it.
No, but I didn't say what you said. You're saying you're taking my word on a thing that you said. I did not say that it's commercial.
Yes, I'm taking.
I never said that we have sold out and gotten too commercial. We've been accused of it.
Well, when I came back on, you were talking about selling underwear. So I guess I just assumed.
I guess I was yelling about selling underwear, and then said this is an old school episode from. Yeah, so I see how you connected the dots. What a weird episode! But I like it. Any other messages you'd like to send to your girlfriend, who you assume is listening, and I want to thank her for listening.
Other than reiterating what I've said before, I would say that, you know, if you slam the redial button over and over again, you know, eventually good things can happen to you too, I guess.
Wow. So you're giving instructions and advice to our listeners who can't seem to get through.
They will.
And what's the view like from the mountaintop? For all the people who have been trying to climb the peaks that you've now climbed today, what's the view like from the mountaintop?
Well, it's about an hour later. I think I have a lot of work. I think I have a lot of work to do that I haven't been doing. But I think it's been fun. I really enjoyed talking to you, Chris. You know, though I didn't get the chance to come up and chat when we came to watch the show. You know, I think the impression that I had of you was very warm, is the adjective that I'd use to describe it. And just talking to you for an hour, you know, I could do this for another hour, I think. I don't think I'll get that lucky, and I hope somebody else gets the spot before I do again.
I hope you call, get through again, and say, hey, it's that guy again, and I still haven't listened. I didn't even listen to my episode, and I got through again. You'll become the ultimate villain of this show. Be like Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, the ultimate bad guy.
Whatever the opposite of first time, long time is, you know, first time never, I guess.
First time, not interested time. Not interested, buddy. I love it. It was a really good call. We got about a minute. We got a little less than a minute. What are your closing words here?
That's a good question. I guess the pitch I would make is when I left to go work on the campaign, I quit my job and sort of packed everything up in my car and drove out to do it because I thought it was the right thing to do. I was in the position at that point. I was very fortunate to have that chance and that ability. But I hope, you know, if there's anybody out there who's watching the primaries, and thinking, God, I really want to get into this. Like, I really wish, I really hope, and I really feel like it's necessary for me to go and help. Go do it. It was the best, easily the best thing I've ever done, and I don't regret it for a second. So if you're sitting on the fence, get off the fence. Things are a little too crazy to stay on the fence. So
get off the fence
if you can.
Good closing words. Thank you for calling. Thank you for saying I have a warm energy. I promise you, if we do meet in person, I'll either be pleasant or terrified, depending on my mental state that day. Thank you for calling.
All right. Great to talk to you, Chris.
Caller, thank you so much for calling. I hope you enjoyed the experience. I like talking to you. And I have a feeling you scored some major points with your lady friend when you said all those sweet things. Could have gotten mean, you went sweet instead. Well done. Thank you for calling. Thank you to Jared O'Connell and Harry Nelson in the booth. Sorry I gave everybody such a hard time. It's not their fault, the technical stuff is a bigger picture than us. Thanks, Justin Linville. Thank you, Shell Shack. If you want to know about me and all the things I'm up to, go to chrisgeth.com. Good way to know when I'm getting out on the road. If you like the show, go to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe. It really helps when you do. Thanks so much for listening. Go and try to find the perfect vacation home, and it's just tough. You get distracted. You wind up going down all these internet rabbit holes, seeing all these videos of cute babies and dogs surfing and stuff like that. What you need is Vrbo. They do the hard work for you, matching you to the perfect place to stay every time, from condos to cabins. You got want a place with a yard, a grill, a hot tub? Well, they got it all. My mom uses Vrbo. She got mad at me. She said, it's not pronounced Vrbo, it's V-R-B-O. I said, Mom, they're an advertiser on my show. It's pronounced Vrbo. I'm teaching you now that we're later in life. Search V-R-B-O in the App Store to download the Vrbo app today. Put a stop to frustrating vacation searches. Let Vrbo find a home that matches you. Next time on Beautiful Anonymous, someone who lives very far away breaks down their life, their culture, and the things we can all do to help.
How many minutes do we have left?
17 and a half minutes.
17 and a half? Holy shit. Okay. This is very, very important, and I need to tell this to your audience because it will help my mom.
Okay.
In her work. So, call center jobs are a huge business. For them to be paid more, you guys have to answer the surveys that tell them, how is the customer service? Was it satisfactory or not? Don't drop the phone. If you really like the customer service, if you really like the people who are helping you, you fill up the survey and say they're doing great because they'll get paid more. I am
really
begging you. It helps. Yeah, it's because they rely on customer satisfaction to get more money. And that's how my mom's getting her money right now.
That's next time on Beautiful Anonymous.